next item on the agenda is...
More oysters.
Yes. Request for public hearing pertaining to restrictions on oyster harvest. Mr. Button, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Commissioner, members of the commission. Got a lot of stuff on the computer screen to look through there. There we go. So I was hoping to have a longer afternoon to talk about oysters, but I promise I'll be brief. I think we've had a fair amount of discussion already on our humble bivalves. But if you'll humor me there, I'd like to give a brief update on the replenishment program that we've been undertaking this year. We're just wrapping up large portions of that. I understood there had been some questions about viewing the dredging operation of the fossil shell. So this is a quick video of that, and then I'll run into harvest season.
Are they still here, or are they gone now that it's so hot? Gone?
They finished up. The last shells were planted actually on Sunday this year. So,
I promise a rain check, Mr. Zeidler, but it was hot those weeks they were working.
This will sort of give you a feel of the operation there, so it's a quick video, and then I'll get into the request for a public hearing there. So this is actually a hydraulic dredge, so that stirred up water there is the cutter head that's actually getting the shell. And I'm sort of following the path of the oysters up to the top of the sorting machine here. So they're pumped up. This is about two or three stories in the air. So all the shell is coming up to this area where it's being washed. And it's falling down this grating device, and all the large shells are sorted out to one side. All the smaller shell fragments go out to another side. Goes through this sort of tube sorting device similar to aquaculture operations, but much, much bigger, which further grades, sorts, and washes the shells. And then they're piled on these barges, and these are what are planted throughout the state there. So that barge on the right there, when full, holds about 30,000 bushels of oyster shells, and that's sort of one day of deployment is sort of a typical barge like that. So this year, with the fossil shells, we've deployed approximately 604,000 bushels of shell statewide over about the last month. We've planted, in addition to that, approximately 59,000 bushels of house shells or shucking house shells. And we're just wrapping up the stone planting project, the Pianca Tank, this year, that is planting approximately 60 acres with stone as part of restoration. That's approximately 15,000 tons of crushed granite stones or oyster size there. In addition, we've moved approximately close to 15,000 bushels of seed oysters, similar to what you see here, that was fossil shell that caught a very good strike in the James River last year, and this was planted throughout the state in several different areas as part of the replenishment program this year. So that's the activities that have been going on this summer and just wrapping up now. And that's sort of what we do to maintain the public oyster fishery that we're about to talk about now. Are there any questions on replenishment program before I go into that?
I do have one question. Sometimes before we hear testimony, and it seems to me that watermen don't really realize that all this effort goes into oysters in our bay watershed. Do they know this? I mean, it seems to me sometimes they don't really realize the effort.
I couldn't speak to the individual, but this
activity... self-serving statement on the staff's behalf, anyway. The
activity happens relatively quickly. Try to hit the spat set, and watermen are very hardworking during the summer months if they're full-time crabbing, so they're not always observing all this activity. So it does happen quickly.
I know one thing. I was going across the James River Bridge at 7 o'clock one morning, going to Newport News to a baseball tournament. And there they were, right there off of Brown Shoals, blowing the oyster shells, right? That's 7 o'clock on Saturday morning. So.
No, I guess my point, I'm sorry, I mean...
About all the effort and mechanics and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, no, I know. I don't know if they really... Sometimes it seems like I hear folks say that it seems like they just think these oysters are there naturally, that which they're dredging, hand scraping up oftentimes. I sometimes think maybe VMRC needs to give ourselves some... acknowledgement with the folks who benefit from this effort. It seems to me sometimes they don't realize that the effort that goes into the shells or the waitress they collect.
Oh.
Yeah. We have SMAC.
Yeah, this is all publicly discussed, but how widely dispersed to individuals that is, I couldn't say specifically, but I think it is out there, but okay. Any one individual might not.
You do a great effort. I just think you broadcast it louder, I think.
Yeah, I think watermen realize that it's going on, but they just don't realize the magnitude of what it is. I mean, it's a bunch of stuff going on. There's a lot of effort into replenishment.
Yeah.
I just don't think. You know, they may see it in the small area that they're in for a few days.
Right.
That's it, but they don't understand and see the vastness of it that goes on.
Yeah. And this is our 90th year of replenishment this summer, actually. So we've
90th anniversary.
For 90 years. So.
I'm sorry.
Two quick questions. One is the barge you showed. I heard that it was at risk the last 2 years of being maintained or staying in this area. That's no longer an issue.
It has been purchased by a company, and they have been putting money into maintaining it. And it's sort of it was for sale, and having it purchased now is sort of a stable company that has a history of dredging. It is still a relatively old piece of equipment, but they are maintaining it, and there's not the same level of concern that it will disappear overnight as there was in the past.
Consider it a very well-oiled, complicated contraption.
There's a lot of moving parts, for sure.
Yeah.
It looks like it.
Is there ever?
And one more. The level of effort this past year, was that significantly increased because of state funding? I mean, I guess, could you say we were able to ramp up efforts, expand efforts because of the General Assembly support, that thereby maybe will encourage a future support? Or
I guess we were able to expand both the amount of substrate deployed and the acreage because of the increased funding.
Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Go ahead.
All right. So this is a request for a public hearing, proposal to amend Chapter 4, VAC 2720, pertaining to the restrictions on oyster harvest, to establish the 2019-2020 areas of public harvest, public oyster harvest season, and management measures. So this is the graphic that many of you are used to seeing that sort of goes over the overall harvest numbers, and you will see that this is a preliminary estimate. Our harvest season runs from July to June of the following year, so private ground harvest numbers aren't entirely in. But based on what we do have in our mandatory reporting system, it does appear that both public and private ground harvest numbers have dipped somewhat since last year. This is sort of a different breakdown on that. It sort of gives you a little more comparison there. And this was anticipated primarily because of the fresh water that we experienced last year. That had a number of effects, both increased mortality in both public and private ground, as well as stunted growth. So a lot of the oysters that may have reached market size last year didn't, and what we're seeing based on what we've observed this year is by the time salinity recovered, which is really just in the last month or so, water temperatures were up high enough, where usually in late July and August you sort of see growth slow down anyway. So it's almost 2 years of lost growth that we've seen. That in combination with the low spat sets will likely be reflected in this upcoming harvest season as well as future harvest seasons. So that's something to be aware of as we go into establishing the harvest season this year. This is a little bit of a breakdown on that public versus private graphic that I showed earlier. This is just the amount of harvest on private ground that is actually still traditional based. So this is dredges, scrapes, hand tongs. This 24% of private ground is what is really commonly referred to as aquaculture or containerized aquaculture. So this piece of the pie actually represents private ground, and this represents public ground. It's one of those sometimes misconceptions that aquaculture is everything on private, but depending on your definition, this is sort of the actual breakdown of just the 2017 calendar year where the piece of the pie falls. So really sort of the traditional fishery in Virginia is still much larger than the actual containerized aquaculture aspect, which took up a lot of our morning today. But anyway, this is again from last year, that mortality that we saw. This is just a piece of the Rappahannock, and you can see that this just shows the public ground, but there is private ground in all these areas that is going to be affected in this coming season and probably future seasons. And again, this just represents the death. It doesn't necessarily represent that slow growth rate for the spat debts that were lower this year. Again, this is sort of a normal good year, 2016, what spat sets look like. And you can see the shape of this graph is sort of curving upwards. As you get more shale, you get more spat. That's sort of normally what you see in a good spat set year. Again, 2017, not quite as good, but again, that sort of normal slope to that graph there. And just sort of what 2018 looks like is just sort of doesn't really fit that normal trend line. You can see that sort of all over the place. So a few areas did get good spat sets, but generally the trend across the whole bay didn't follow that. And that's something that we'll have to be taking into account as we establish this season and future seasons. This is just a little bit of breakdown on the licenses sold in 2018. So this is the effort in the fishery. Hand scrape is the biggest portion, followed by hand tong, the sort of unsung workhorse of the oyster industry, if you will. There's still a lot of oysters caught with that gear, dredge, patent tong, and this is the total number of participants that have that all gear user fee that will be eligible to purchase that user fee and those gear types again this year. This is actually the number who reported harvest of that 900 last year, so only 466. This is sort of possible latent effort there. And of those 466, 427 reported 40 days or more of harvest. So that's sort of where the effort is in that fishery. Again, just a quick graphic to show you where the oysters are coming from. Is this large piece of the pie here, this is combined, so all the oyster harvest for three calendar years. And 63% of that came from the scrape fishery. So that's the hand scrape that is sort of the dominant gear type for catching oysters. Again, 21% from ordinary tongs, 12% from dredge. And the rest is just that piece of the pie there. So really, oyster scrapes and hand tongs are still producing most of the oysters on public ground in Virginia over the last 3 years. That gear type being the dominant gear type that it is, it does have an impact to the harvest area. So this is pre and post harvest areas just in portions of the James River. So that's something that we'll need to take into account that staff is working with SMAC on, is to sort of discuss how the shifts in effort that we saw last year impacted the James and other harvest areas, as effort may have shifted from one area to another. So you can see that on the left here, this is prior to harvest. This is the number of market oysters, small oysters, and spat oysters. And this is coming back the following spring. So you can see the number of spat takes the biggest hit. This is the number of market here, this on the far right, and that sort of comes down a little bit. But you can see that in all areas, both the number of smalls and the number of spat are substantially decreased by the harvest activity, whereas the number of market oysters actually caught sort of usually in most areas goes down by about 50%. But take White Shoals, for example, where you have spat sets up over 450 after harvest activity with the hand scrape in that area. You've knocked the spat down to 150 per square meter. And a lot of these small oysters here that were up over 75 per square meter have gone off that area too as a result of the harvest activity. So this is sort of the impacts of that scrape in there. And you can see the same thing is true in hand tong areas again. These were areas that were heavily harvested for seed. You can see that in some cases that does go down, but not as substantially as it does in hand scrape areas, even with targeted seed harvest. So there was some concerns last year. We made some adjustments in the harvest season with areas in the Rappahannock. And the main reason that I'd like to sort of highlight before we get into the public hearing next year as sort of background is the reason that Area 5 in the Rappahannock was less than anticipated last year was a combination of both that freshwater mortality, but also if you look right here in 2014, this was the density of market oysters, this gray column here, prior to it being open for harvest in the 2015-16 season. And you can see that after replenishment effort and natural spat sets, we did start to recover to pre-harvest levels again. This is prior to the 2018 season. But again, they were higher than they were when it was open last time. So you do see recoveries because of replenishment and activities and spat sets like that, but they don't always recover to the same level where they were through natural variability. So there is always some of that working into effect. So that, on top of the mortality, was what caused that sort of dilemma last year. And you can see that, again, Area 4 is scheduled to open this year. This is just one example. You can see this was the harvest prior to it last opening in the 16-17 season. And again, this is where we are right before this coming season, and we've started to recover, but again, this is that stunted growth year, so normally this would have gone up a little more and then gone up a little more in the spring. We're not likely yet to that level before in Area 4 there, so it's sort of a similar outlook that we have for certain areas because of that. As staff is working with ASMAC to address some of these issues, we've had a number of discussions about changing to different harvest years in certain areas when they do meet that a certain threshold. So really 5 market oysters per square meter is sort of a level that once you get to there, you have the opportunity or the possibility of transitioning that area to a different gear type, such as patent tongs in deeper water or hand tongs in other areas where there's enough density of oysters where you could actually make that gear type work. So you can see that in some years we do make it up to that point, and you could make an area transition over like that, but really when you're below 5 market oysters per square meter, which you can get to relatively quickly with the replenishment effort and a decent spat set, really a transition to that gear type really wouldn't work in terms of having enough market oysters to make that a viable fishery. So that's something that staff is working with ASMAC to look at these areas and see if they could possibly be transitioned over, or if there's a way that you could adjust rotations to both conserve the resource and maximize the harvest. So we're looking at staff is looking at adjusting rotation lengths in certain areas, if that's would be benefit, a detriment to the fishery, as well as this transition to different gear types. So that's what staff is going to be working on going into this public hearing. We have another ASMAC meeting scheduled. We're going to try to discuss all the concerns that both this freshwater mortality, the current level of harvest effort, and sort of looking ahead as far as we can have and sort of developing a forward-looking oyster season for this year, and we'll present that at the public hearing. But staff is requesting advertising for an August public hearing to amend Chapter 4 VAC 720-10 pertaining to restrictions on oyster harvest to establish the 2019-2020 areas of public oyster harvest seasons and management measures.
Andrew, it's a very good briefing. I appreciate that. Any questions? Tanker, yes, sir.
So when you think about other gear types, what comes to your mind? I mean, this, like Dr. Wesson used to mention, the hand scrape was very efficient, but mm-hmm. It grinds the rocks.
The mini dredge.
Prior to the hand scrape becoming the gear type of choice and regulations allowing it to be worked in these areas, the dominant gear types in the majority of Virginia were patent tongs in deeper water environments and hand tongs in shallow water environments. So I believe in many areas there was sort of a depth limit. So above a certain depth, I believe it was 18 feet, I want to say, were hand tong areas, and below that depth was patent tong areas. And there were some lines drawn in code that still exist in terms of patent tong lines, and dredge areas were predominantly in very deep water off Tangier, Pocomoke Sound. But until the hand scrape came along, the majority of the fishery was a patent tong and hand tong fishery with dredge areas.
Yeah, nobody was here when the debate first came out about the hand scrape, because really there was a lot of debate of whether it was really a scrape and a hand scrape as it was known, or whether it was actually a mechanized mini dredge. So, but I mean, we've been holding our own well, and I think, you know, there's two ways to look at it. The oyster harvest is certainly up, yeah. You know, the numbers are up, but then again, the ground that we have to work on. But Andrew and the gang folks have been doing a pretty good job by virtue of their hard work maintaining the substrate and things like that. But he knows, Rob, the gang know, we rely on them to tell us when things are looking like they need a little bit of a breather.
Yeah.
And we can react to that.
Yes, I just, you know, this graph, you know, when you look at the, I guess that's the year 2000, I mean, public harvest is statistically zero, essentially.
Well, it is.
And that wasn't that long ago.
That is partly the result of both the fishery recovering and that transition to different gear types. So sort of both came up together there.
Yeah, and rotational harvest had a lot to do with it as well.
So anyway,
give a place a chance to grow out a little bit and and responsible harvesting by folks like Mr. France, stuff like that. So.
Well, thank you, Mr. France.
Do what I can.
Okay, what's the pleasure of the commission? Been a long time today.
Move to approve staff recommendation.
Motion made by Mr. Tanger to approve staff recommendation, seconded by Mr. France. I can see all the way down there. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Anything else to come before the commission? If not, meeting adjourned. Thank you all very much.